Where did we get .08 to begin with? Anybody remember?
In his folks.
No, we got it out of the factory analysis manual. 1982, we did tracks all over the country and averaged the daily variant and what a point of daily variant was worth, or what a point of level, gauged by a fifth of a second, which almost all part-time charts use as a fifth of a second. And came up with an average of .08. And it's held up no matter what method you use. Now, if you use square and part-time charts now, you enter them in your variant program or your track profile program, your PAR generator, and remember that you have to take his and divide them in half because you're using factor W. So his would be 0.15 apart. You've got to have to make it 0.08.
In phase 3, a level is 0.15. And in synergism, it's 0.08. Just about half.
Well, that, you don't do that running from track to track or some curve paradise or long acres. You don't do any of that.
Track, I use the 0.15. Now, actually, I don't know, remember I said in the manual, I don't know whether these track-to-track adjustments are accurate or not. They've proved a workable solution. But here's how you could also determine that, if you like. If you have available to you a set of part-time charts, for several tracks where you have horses that ship to you, in, for example, if you're in the Chicago area and they've got a lot of horses shipping in that area from Omaha and Kentucky and what have you, if they had all of those charts, all they would have to do is go through the same process for each level and determine what the factor W is using synergism, run them through just as if they were horses being run through the program. For example, let's say that at Omaha they came up with a $10,000 horse. His factor W was 54.54. And at Churchill Downs, it was 54.34. The track-to-track is not 0.15, it's 0.20. It's the difference between the two tracks, if you have the part-time table set. So if you have that available to you, then you can find out what the actual track-to-track is and use that. 0.15 has been a workable solution, but I don't know if it's accurate or not. It's what I use. But the only way to find out if it's accurate or not is to get a hold of some part-time charts if it becomes a problem for you. If you see you all of a sudden losing a lot of races because of horses shipping from these other tracks and you give them these penalties and you're losing the winners, then you might ought to get a hold of some part-time charts.
The address and the special price for them from Quirin is in the following. The earlier edition.
It's just not a little edge that you have that you can put to work for you. More than one way to skin a cat, as they say.
Our price is a lot more inexpensive than the one you saw advertised from Woodside Associates yesterday in the race. Take advantage of our rate. And we are.
Okay, let's go on to the next race while we're waiting for the numbers. We'll come back to see what that arbitrary class.
Yes, somebody working on the. Somebody running it through?
What should we use as a track record there for six furlongs?
Immaterial. Put in any track record you want, it doesn't matter.
Well, 107.3.
No, you want to record it on W.
Okay, let's go to the next race while somebody's running the numbers there. Okay, this is the fifth race Sunday. You probably all remember this. They had 27 horses entered in this race. They scratched 19. They're supposed to go down the hill, and they put it on the dirt. Okay. I made the contenders in here. Mibesso, Windward Lane, Bold Archon, and Reconnoitering. Pace lines for Mibesso and Windward Lane were the last race. Bold Archon and Reconnoitering were the second back. You'll notice I only used four horses in here. I just couldn't find another horse that I thought had a shot in here that I could get a pace line on. For the setup, I use Mibesso. So again, here we are with a situation. We've only got one horse, and everybody else is going to be adjusted to this horse. I made no class adjustments in here. And we had two horses that would be treated as shippers, Bold Archon and Reconnoitering. Again, a simple race. Yes.
are we looking at a tandem here? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, tandem race on Vaso and Moon's Lane, right?
Yeah. Tandem on who?
Tandem on Nibeso and Limit Lane. Well, we've got two separate races.
Okay, I use
a different pace line for Winwood Lane.
Also for Walmart.
Oh, you didn't use Winwood Lane last? Oh, okay.
No, I didn't.
I used, pace line for Mibeso, and yes, I did, I beg your pardon. For Mibeso and Winwood Lane was the last race. That's a tandem, you're right, so you only enter the time once.
Bull Archon is also the
okay.
last race.
Bull Archon is the horse that I used a different pace line on. He had trouble in the race. That just didn't look like his race, so I excused it. Now, that's one of the habits that I have, and I'm not going to recommend this to you, but this is something that I do. All of us... Everybody has an off day. He did have trouble in the race, but it also looked to me like he might have had an off day. Quite frequently, when I see a horse have a bad pace line in his last race, if I can't find a reason for it, and I mean just a clunker, I'll just excuse it. I'll just throw it out and say, well, he had an off day. Now, maybe I'm going to be right some of the time, and maybe I'm going to be wrong some of the time. I don't know whether I'm going to be right or wrong, and I won't know until the race is run. The horse has either gone off form, or the horse just had an off day. That's one of the chances that I'm willing to take in this pace line selection process. It works for me. That doesn't mean it'll work for you. Yes, question.
Set up for... If we use the second race back at Del Mar for Bold Archon, and the second race back Del Mar for Reconnoitering, shouldn't we have set up for a 6 furlong race at Del Mar?
Record time's the same, 107.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 107 and 3, so I didn't bother with it. Any questions about those? Yes?
Dirt sprints, do you use the alternate tandem method?
I don't use
the tandem method, but rarely. And I'll tell you why. Not because I don't believe it, because I'm going to tell you something. When I do get to go to the track, I go with a guy by the name of Doug, and he sits next door to me, sits right next to me. And he uses the tandem almost all the time. The reason I don't is I don't have a lot of time for handicapping. It's an extra process that I have to go through, and I just frankly don't have the time to do it. But I highly recommend it, because when I lose a race and it's a tandem race, he said, well, he should have used the tandem concept. I mean, he always uses it. So I get burned quite often, but it's just because my time is limited. But the tandem concept works. Which way works better, I really am not an authority. I can't tell you, because I don't use it very often. I don't have time to use it.
Yes.
That you'll have to develop on your own. Yes, sure.
This race was at downhill turf. Now, When it is a downhill turf, you can use another pace line, but when it's the opposite, you don't use a downhill turf for a regular unless you have to.
Yeah.
There's a little tricky one here. If the race is coming down the hill, I like to have a majority of pace lines that are down the hill, the 6.5 turf course, to use for the setup and the pace lines. If I don't, I may set it up as a dirt race and not use the 6.5 furlong pace lines going onto the dirt. I'll find a dirt pace line to use, because that is a very specialized, tricky race, and adjusting those things is pretty tricky. So be careful with that 6.5 down the hill. Look for a situation where you're going to have a majority of 6.5 furlong pace lines for your setup and your pace lines. Although last year, I can remember, I think it was during the winter meet, I had 6 horses that I was going to use in the pace line, 5 of them, in the setup rather, 5 of them, all had 6.5 down the hill, and Am Another Brother had a 6.5 on the dirt, a sloppy track, I think it was. It was the only logical pace line I could use for the horse. And I put him in, and he came up my number one horse, and he won, he paid $22.40. Worked that time, but I had a majority of 6.5 furlong pace lines to use both to set up the race and for pace lines. He was the only horse in the race that had to be adjusted. He got the right adjustment, and it worked. So it's just, you got to be a little careful with that. That's a tricky race. You got to be careful with that with anything. All right, somebody just gave me the numbers. Thank you. For our arbitrary class situation here. Horse number six had a factor W of 55.23. And horse number 50 had a 55.82. So X Sarban, and again, these are imaginary figures, the difference between the bottom level and the top level is 0.57. So somebody take 0.57 and divide it by 7 and see what we come up with.
0.814.
0.814. 0.08, all right. Pick the figures out of the sky and it still comes up.
7 times 8 is 56.
I beg your pardon?
7 times 8
is 56. Yeah, okay. All right, that's how you would determine what a class per level adjustment should be. Pretty simple. And you could do the same thing on a track-to-track basis just by comparing the part-time tables.
It works
marvelously. Okay. Now, getting back to our race here with Mi Besso and his friends. No class adjustments here. Now you can look at the printouts. Bowl Archon is number one on W, two early, two sustained, one turn time. Mi Besso is a 2-1-3-2. Again, look at Wynwood Lane, the place horse, the contra energy horse. Because I'm betting the top two early, and he's the number one sustained pace horse. Look at that exacta.
He had a contra energy too.
That's what I'm saying. He's the contra energy horse. He's tied number three for factor W. So this horse is a contender in this race. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And he's the number one sustained pace horse in the race. You bet two horses in here, Bowl Archon and Mi Besso. $20.40 is not too shabby. And look at your exact at $247. Even a $30 box, that's a good return. Any questions about this, Ray? One thing I have not had a lot of complaints about, in fact, we haven't had any complaints at all about synergism that I can think of, but none of the calls are saying that using synergism is hard. It's an easy program to use. It's so simple. You don't have to agonize about pace line selections and all the rest of it. If you go through the steps, do your class in APV, do your pluses and zeros, do the ESPs, pick out your contenders and pick your pace lines, in that order, you're going to find that this just kind of all falls into place. And you get in a routine of doing that every time. And you're just going to create yourself a nice little bankroll to do nice things for your family and yourself.
Be running a lost race by scratching it
up. That's true. Absolutely. Once you've lost,
you've come home and you've lost a lot of races. In fact, let me make a recommendation to you, okay? Whether you've had a good day or a bad day at the track, when you come home, I recommend that you do your class in APVs and pick out the races that you're going to handicap. Pick out the races that you're going to handicap and do the class in APVs. And that's all you do that night. Either go back to your desk and rework the races that you lost today, or if you didn't have any losses, and believe it or not, we're getting a lot of folks that aren't having any losses over a period of a day. Okay? Take the rest of the night off. It's a tough grind starting early in the morning. Handicapping the races, going to the track, the stress of all the decision-making, the fun of cashing the tickets. You're going to be in one of two frames of the track. Either you're going to be down a little bit because you made some bad choices, or you're going to be very high because you made some good choices and had a good day. Either way, that's going to affect your handicapping that night. If you've had a really good day, you might be footloose and fancy-free and be a little too quick going through your pace line selections and that kind of thing. If you've had a bad day, you're going to agonize and may force yourself to pick wrong pace line.
You might be drunk, too.
That's right. If you went with me, I don't mind having a drink or two after the race is over, but never at the track.
Is that the good night or the bad night?
Any night. Anytime.
It sounds pretty simple, but maybe
it's only me.
Yes.
But I run my APBs, I do my plus and minuses. It still takes me for, like, picking six horses yesterday. It took me almost 5 hours to do that and pick contenders and face them.
I'd say the night before, do your eight class and APVs, plus and zeros, and your ESPs, and then rework any races you lost, and that's as far as you go for tomorrow. And then get up. First of all, you get the scratches, which may change the shape of the race and what have you. And once you've got the race shape in front of you, particularly with your ESPs, using the broad brush, you know, these things, it really shapes up for you, and it helps you pick your pace lines. So it really helps. It brings those pace lines up off the page to you. The point is, you know, this is a tough, tough game. I don't know of any business in the world, and I run a pretty good business with my wife, and I mean a pretty sizable business. That takes a lot of work. I don't know anything that requires more attention to detail than what you guys are trying to do. I do it. This is a hell of a lot of work. So if you're going to do it, you should do it in the best frame of mind you can, and not handicapping after a bad day or a good day. That right at that night, I think, is real good advice, even though I happen to be the one giving it. All right, let's go back to this race. After I had these all done, Howard called me and asked me to do one for the guys back east, because we're always sending them these workbooks with California races, because that's what we have out here. So I just used the same form that I'd already done all these races on and picked a feature for that Sunday, November 1st, an aqueduct. And this is an interesting race. It's a two-year-old filly race going 9 furlongs. Looked this over, made the contenders, Last Cause, Betty LaBila, Another Paddock, Royal Rhine, and Dangerous Type. Pace line selection is the last race for everybody except the second back for Dangerous Type. I used Another Paddock for the setup, the par variant. Now, I don't know anything at all about aqueduct. I've been to Las Vegas, and I've played Belmont and Saratoga, but I've never played a race in aqueduct. We've been to New York and held seminars in there. We've been to Belmont. We've never been to aqueduct, and I've never played a race in aqueduct, so I don't know how to play this race, really, other than an observation is that these are two-year-old fillies, and none of them have gone 9 furlongs before. So they're all into new territory. The logical thing for me, at least, was to think that the horse that's going to win this race is going to have a lot of sustained pace, because they're in untested ground. They've never done it before. And I don't know that they really have any, relatively speaking, any sustained pace, but the one that has the best should win the race. And that's the tack that I took with this race. The pace line selection was very obvious again. And you can see the results. I ranked this on sustain. And Betty was number one sustain, was still in the top three factor W, which made her a qualifier as far as I was concerned. The Contra Energy horse, again, number one factor W, number one early, is the place horse in here. These are $2 exactions, I believe, in New York. And what did that pay? $38 for two, or four if you boxed them. And the winner paid $10.80. If I'd have been at a race book or the track, I'm not sure who I would have bet as my second horse in here to win. I would have bet two horses in here. Betty would have been one of them. I'm not sure what I would have bet Paddock or not, because she's fourth on factor W, even though she is second sustain. And having no other choice, that might have been the bet. But the exacta would have been fairly easy in here. If I was wrong on the sustain, and it's just a guess I made on my part, I happened to guess right. If I was wrong and it went early, and I bet two horses in here, or bet the exacta, I would have had it anyway. because the number one early ended up as a place rusher. But that's a strange track, strange race. Just put the figures through synergism, and there it is. Anybody have any questions with the pace lines or anything like that? Yes?
Nothing really, Jeff. I've never seen those letters on the result chart before.
That's for the off-track.
Wagering that they have. They use letters rather than numbers at the off-track.
It's a good race to remind you of
something we talked about before on your ranking. Either go up to the actual numbers when you have two horses tied, in this case for one. Betty becomes two. Not at a track meet, but in our methodology, the next number beyond one when you're tied at one is two. Betty automatically becomes the number two factored up. Unless you want to separate it by actual numbers.
Good. Okay, those are all the races in the workbook. Does anybody have any questions over anything that we've covered so far? Okay.
My question is, the 8.08 per level on claiming, I can follow, but I get bugs with like that Peggy D race you had in here between a claimer and allowance.
Okay, well,
I get tangled up on that.
Well, what you need is a part-time
chart that shows you the various levels. Without that, then you're kind of at a loss because you're just guessing. You don't know what the levels are. So you need a part-time chart, and that'll identify what the various levels are for you. Again, I'll repeat what I said before about these class levels, class adjustments. You can get by just fine without them, so if you don't have them, don't worry about them. You see how few class adjustments I made in these races. You know, about the only one I made any serious adjustments in was in the grass race. Other than that, you know, synergism pretty much takes care of it.
John?
Yes?
You said a minute ago that Betty would have become the number two factor W horse?
Howard said that,
yeah. And you said earlier that if you had tied for first, that you had to put a two in there, you would have used one of those two red, one or two. Going down, you always put a two, in other words. You wouldn't have taken the third horse and made him second.
I don't do
what Howard does, so you'll have to ask him what he does. I just take the printouts exactly as I see them. I consider a tie. I don't change numbers.
He understands how to
interpret the rest of the readouts. Some people get hung up on the fact that you'll see a race, for instance, that Alashiva won in Louisiana when the W's in that particular race, because they were all shippers, it was 1-1-1-1-5. Well, a person who thinks in terms of one is best and other numbers are worse, you change that 5 to a 2. Now you don't throw out Alashiva. And on its other interpretive readings, it demonstrated that it did what it did, won the race. However, some people still persist in seeing a 5 or some number that's way down, throwing it out. So merely make sure that you have a successive order. If two are literally tied for one, that's fine. But
what Howard is
saying is this. The ties in synergism is 0.02. Okay? That's how close it is. It's 0.02 is a tie. So if you have a 1-1-1-1-5, and I'm just going to pick an arbitrary figure, and we're talking about factor W here, and this one is a 55.50. This one could be as close as 55.47, or 0.03, this number 5 down here. These all are within 0.02, and he could be 0.03. So that's a 2. That's what he's talking about. That's why he changes the number. I'm aware of that. All I have to do is look at the printouts, and I can see that my 5 is only 0.03 or 0.04 off. You know, it's not a 5 as far as I'm concerned. And I just mentally make that adjustment and go on. But some people need to see it, and they just write it right in. They just change the 5 to a 2. This works because that's the way the program works, and I can't make it go 1-1-1-1-2. It won't work.
That would also make a model, and if you had a couple of 5s, you have to still interpret it that way.
In your model,
put that baby in as a 2.
In the model.
That's a different deal altogether. You would put this horse in as a 2. That's correct.
Right. That can be very important to people.
That could be very important. You say, like John was showing me some of his readouts, and said my readouts are all over the place. That would make them be all over the place if you happen to have a situation with a lot of ties. You should not get a lot of ties using synergism if you use it properly. Where if you get confused and don't know how to set the race up.
I get two ties sometimes.
Yeah, well.
You can separate them up here.
Yeah, that's right. You can set them on the other readout. Okay. All right, it's almost lunchtime. Do you want to break for lunch? And
yeah.
We'll get here's. Let me tell them what we'd like to do. Okay, we did the same thing yesterday. We've covered all of the races in the workout, in the workbook. And pretty much answered all the questions. If you have any more, we'll answer them before we break for lunch. This afternoon, I think, is the most beneficial part for the people that are at least listening to the tape, and maybe for you too. At least I hope so. Now we want to answer your specific questions, problems that you're having using the program. We don't want you to leave here today until you know how to use this program, because this is a very powerful tool you've got in your hands, and you need to learn how to use it properly. That's the purpose of this seminar. That's why we made it a package deal. The program plus the seminar. It's going to be important that you have this information to use this program right. So after lunch, what we want to do is take your questions from the floor and make sure that all of your questions are answered on how to use this program. We don't care. There's no such thing as a stupid question. Okay? Any little nagging problem you've got, let's get it taken care of. Because when you leave here now, now you can get real serious about what you're doing with this program.
Take it out. Yeah, we knew you were coming.
Let's start with the questions, and we'll just keep going until we run out of questions.
Well, using the off tracks to take on averages, is there any situations where you wouldn't want to do that? Or how about like soft or yielding curve?
I have made no exceptions. If I'm going to use it as a pace line, I use it as a setup time. That's it. Period. As long as it's going to be my pace line, I use it. I don't care what the condition of the track was. And I've made no exceptions since day one, since I've been using it. Yes?
All Southern California tracks are adding sand by the ton the last couple of years. And the track records were established generally prior to that time, except for Hollywood. But does that make any difference in the track records?
Whatsoever. It does not matter at all. The weight synergism adjustment, everything's relative. They can add sand until their tails turn blue, as far as I'm concerned. It's not going to affect the way synergism operates at all. It won't change it. So if you have a change in the track record at any track, here or back east or in the Midwest or wherever, that's what you put in, and that's what all the horses get adjusted to. Okay. Everything's relative. They're all running on the same surface. All right? Any other questions? Howard, we're in trouble. Everybody's using this program so well, they don't have any questions.
Well,
I
don't know how to use that scratch program when you scratch.
You don't know how to use
scratch routine? Okay. Which?
Yeah, what I end up doing is canceling the whole thing, go back and do an home race again.
Okay. What program do you have? What computer? What computer? 1350?
1360
server. Okay. Do you have a race in there now? By any chance? You don't have a race
in there?
Well,
there might be the last one.
Okay. All right. Let me see if there is a race in there. Okay. Somebody wanted to know how to use a scratch routine in the program. All right. The question comes up, any scratches? So I'm going to answer yes. Okay. And it says, scratch horse, and it gives me the name, yes or no. If I just hit the enter key, that means no. So I'm going to scratch this first horse that I came to, gray, and I'll answer the letter Y for yes. Okay, and I'll hit enter. Now I go to the next above, and I just hit enter. I'm going to leave him in. Missy, I'm going to leave in. Search, I'm going to scratch this horse. So I'll answer Y for yes for that horse. Rebecca, I'm going to leave in. Okay, so it tells me it's the end of the field, and it's sitting there doing its compilation. It's knocking out those two horses. After it's all done resetting all the variables for each of the horses and put them in the right order, then it says Def J to add a horse. If I want, now I've scratched two horses out of this field of six, I think you had in here, so there should be four left. Or just enter, and it'll go on, and it'll reprocess those four horses that I left in. So if I want to add a horse, I just hit the def key and the J and add another horse. In this case, I'll just hit enter, and what it does now, it'll reprocess those four horses and give you the printouts.
So if you put the FJ on it, then you enter horses, and it gives you the same, you don't have to enter new variant or anything?
No, you don't have to do anything. Just add another horse, and just add another horse to those.
The pace line in and.
Right, just put him in there. So now you've got, I've scratched two, I've let it run, so you're going to get a printout now of four horses. But I could have gone Def J and added a horse if I wanted to and bring it back up to five again.
Or added two.
Or added two more or whatever.
Without taking the whole thing out?
Without
taking anything. All I have to do is just put in the data for the one horse or the two horses that I want to add.
Yeah, they tried that, and